Resume recording. Recording is now in progress. Okay. So far we've dealt with, right, the nature of the Isurei Melacha and of Shemitah, and then the question of actually working in the fields and what can you do and what can't you do, and how you're going to make sure that the actual fruit, and then how do you get those fruit and harvest that fruit. Okay, now we want to talk about, you have fruits in your Sadeh, and the Torah says, Vashvi tishmetena v'natashta. You have to be mafkir the peros. So, says the Gemara, right? Maishna hanach, okay, this is like a different Gemara, by the way, right? It's in Bava Metzia, it's just talking about different things that are like hefker. And it says, like, maishna hanach dekarulei nutushim, maishna hani dekarulei ritushim. Okay? So you have things that are nutushim, you have things that are ritushim. What's the difference between nutushim and ritushim? So the Gemara says, oh, nutushim means bal korchan, right? It's against your will. Diktiv, v'hashvi'i tishmetena v'natashta, afka'ata dimalka, right? On shvi'it, you have to, tishmetena v'natashta, you have to like abandon it, right? And that is afka'ata dimalka. That's hefker by the king, by God. As opposed to ritushim, which means midaitan, which is something that you do, like, you know, willingly. Diktiv, ema banim racha. Okay, like, you know, from like a woman who abandons her children. It's like, you know, Bnei Yisrael are like, you know, abandoning the Torah. They're bad. Right, says Rashi, Nitushim al Korchan. Right, it's against your will. Dechtiv vashvi tishmetenev vinatashta. Hainu al Korcha. Afkata demalka mitzvah tamelech. Okay, so where God commands you to be mafkir. Now, in Rashi, right, there's are a little bit like two different vibes that you can get. Okay? Right? It says, this is afkata demalka, as opposed to willingly, right? There's something in between, something that you choose to do, right? And something that happens against your will, right? It says, right, shvius is nitushim, bal korchan, against your will, right? Vashvi tishmetena v'natashta, Afkata demalka, right? God is being mafkia. So you could take that to one point where you say, Nitushin al Korchan, right? It's against your will. Tishmetena v'natashta haina al Korcho, even against his will. Usually al Korcho in halacha means that's something that's happening totally against your will, right? It just happens whether you like it or not, right? On the other hand, then Rashi says, Afkata demalka means what? It's mitzvah tamelech. Right? It's a command by Hashem. Now, if something's a command by Hashem, that doesn't necessarily mean that it happens automatically, right? It means you don't have a choice because God tells you you have to do this, as opposed to something you do by choice. But something that's not by choice isn't the same as something that happens, right? Even if you're kicking and screaming and being dragged all the way there. Those are two things, right? So which one is true? Let's say you're a bad guy, right? And you say, I don't want to be mafkir my peros on Shemitah. Right? You literally, you put up a sign in front of your yard, your garden, and you say, Ani chote rasha, ani lo mafkir ta perot, uf mipo. Right? Or something like that. Sort of parallel to all the signs that you see in Israel, which says like, oh, you know, please take anything you want from this garden. Everything in it is hefker, which is very nice. So let's say you literally wrote the opposite sign. So the Mabit takes this Gemara and he says, well, right, stam shnat hashmita kula hefker. Peros on shmita are hefker. In b'shum chiyuv lo truma v'lo masrot klal. Lo rishon lo sheni lo masarani. Okay, and on shmita there is no chiyuv trumos u'maisros because everything is hefker, and something that is hefker is pater from trumos u'maisros. V'im ita de perot karka goy shemirchan Yisrael ba'aretz beretz Yisrael chayavim b'masrot. Lama halu demistam. Now if Perot that came from the karka of a guy that then was bought by a Jew is going to be chayiv in Trumos u'Maisros, why do we say that Perot Shemitah are pater from Maisros? Right? It's not always true. Now, okay, this is part of his big machokas with Beis Yosef about whether or not the Perot that are grown by a guy are chayiv in Shemitah or not. Okay, so he says, look, if Perot of a guy were pater from Shemitah, then what would happen? So you're saying, wait a second, but peros of a guy are also pata from Trumos and Maestros. But what if the following happens? Says the Mabe. Let's say the guy plants them, and then when are you chayiv in terms of maaseros? Only when you do meruach, only when you actually collect it all and put it in a big pile, right? And start and collect it. So what if a guy grows it and then a Jew buys it from him and does the rest of the processing? Maybe it should be, right? It should be chayiv in terms of maaseros. Unless, he says, right? Unless peros of shvias are always hefker, right? Because peros that were hefker are patur from trumas and maestros. So he says, we say peros of a Jew, of a guy, peros of shmita are always patur. And that means that they're always hefker, even if a Jew then bought it afterwards, at the end of the day, they're still patur because they were hefker. Right? What, you think that if a Jew were to gate off his vineyard, it wouldn't be hefker? Right? God made his karka hefker. Also notice, he doesn't say afkere le perotav, it says afkere le are, right? He made his land hefker, la'anim ula ashirim, v'lakach in shum chiyuv maaser. So obviously there's no chiyuv maaser. Okay, and this is true also to a guy. This is also another important machlokas. The Mabit thinks that even goyim's peros are chayiv in shmita in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so if we had to sum up the Mabit, actually all these points, as opposed to the Beis Yosef, are actually very key in focusing on one core idea, which is the Chovav Shemitah is really where
it's on the land, really, not on the exactly. People.
Right? It's on the land, and therefore, in terms of if you say like, oh, the Chovas Hefker is on the land, meaning right, the land is automatically is Hefker, right? God was Mafkir the land, and doesn't matter who owns the land even, right? So the Mabit says, yeah, the field of a guy is chayiv in Shemitah, and he also thinks it has Kedusha Shvius, even if you bought it from a guy. That's actually what they do in Bnei Brak. Their makbid, like the Chazanish, is machmir lechumra for the Mabit, and he says you have to treat even Yevul Nachri as having Kedusha Shvius. Even though the guy is not chayiv in Shemitah, because he's a guy, right? He's not chayiv in that mitzvah. But it doesn't matter, because we don't really care about the guy. We care about the karka, right? So the karka is chayiv in Shemitah. The hefker happens to the karka without the bailim in the picture, right? And then the peros are hefker. The karka is chayiv in Shemitah. And rachmana afgrei le'arei, the hefker isn't really on the fruit only, right? It's also on the karka itself, right? On the other hand, the Beis Yosef, right, totally disagrees, and he says, "Atara iti masha katava chacham blah, right? Liftok b'shvit m'masrot dilei shnat hashmita bekarka goy v'lacham Yisrael mimenu kodem meruach u'mirchan v'ta'an rishona ki min haTorah im b'shnat hashmita chiyuv b'masrot." V'ani omer ki masha hu sover shehu akshut hu hayosher. He says, oh, "What you're going to say? There's a chiyuv ma'isros?" Says Beis Yosef, "Yeah, there's a chiyuv ma'isros." Right? Kilo niftiru perot shvi'it mimasrot elamitam hefker. Because she'eno mufkar lo niftar mimasrot. Umashatan atu Yisrael shagadar karmo v'lo efkira. Yes, right? What, you're going to say it's not hefker? Right? You're going to tell me that if a guy puts an extra fence around his sadeh on Shemitah and puts a big sign saying, not hefker, don't take, that it's not hefker? Right? Says Beis Yosef, "Yesh lomar shezehu kimo diyah hadavar b'satum imenu." Dika lememar, "Yeah, b'ha in hachanami, sheyeh chayevet af agav d'rachmana afkarei, ki v'di'i lo afkarei." God told the owner of the field that he has to be mafkir, even bal korcho, right? He has to do it. If he doesn't do it, then it's not hefker, right? So again, who's the subject of hefker of Shemitah? According to the Mabit, it's the karka. And therefore, the hefker happens automatically regardless of the owner, right? Says the Beis Yosef, no, it's, right, the owner, the chaklai, is the one who's mitzoveh. God tells you that you have to bal karcha be mafkir, but the afkata de malka that we're talking about isn't that it automatically becomes hefker regardless of the actions of the owner. It's that the owner doesn't have a choice in the matter, right? Because God was mechayiv him to do so, right? Vafilu. Okay, fine. So we have to, right? We have the Mabed who says it's hefker automatically, right? And the Beis Yosef says that, no, the farmer actually still needs to be mafkir. He's chayiv to. There's a mitzvah to do it. But it doesn't happen by itself. Okay. Igros Moshe, Moshe Feinstein, has an interesting, like, in-between, or that's not really in-between. It's really, like, a tzvedinim. It says, rak b'shvi'it, he's talking about the context of Orla. Do you have to put up a sign saying, this tree is Orla, please don't steal from it? Right? You have like, you know, your local neighborhood hoodlums, and they come and they steal from your apple tree. Your apple tree is Arla, right? So you're not allowed to eat it. It's Asur Bachila. Do you have the obligation to put up a sign saying, dear neighborhood hoodlums who's stealing from my tree, it's Arla. So it's not just Gezel, but it's also Isur Arla, please don't eat from it because you don't want to be over an Arla, right? So he says, no, right? They're being over on Gazel. You have no obligation to save them from also being over on Arla. Rak b'shvi'it shehu hefker hu kinotem lahem. Right, but on Shemitah you have to put up a sign saying this tree is Arla because they can come and be ochel. And he says lo mi bay lifi mashe mash mashe ba'al asad mechuyav lafkir b'peh. Right, he says Pashra says you act on Shemitah. You actually have to be mafkir b'peh. You have to say my trees are hef, or the peros on my trees are hefker. So then by doing that, what are you doing? You're essentially presenting or the fruit of your trees to the populace, to other people, as being something that they should be eating. If it's Arla, so then you're giving them Arla to eat, right? Because you made all the peros in your field hefker, and now you're presenting Arla to them as if it was mutter. You're being machsh to them, you're over on lifnei either, right? So he says, "Af shabelo amirato shemafkir nami hu hefker." Right? He says, and that even though that's precious is even if you don't say that it's hefker, it's still hefker automatically, right? But you also need to be mafkir bepeh. Okay, mash v'tzarech lahafkir bepiv. You should verbalize it, right? But afilu imnei mashakivan shu hefker gam beetzem derachmana afkere inu tzarech lahafkir. Right, that's still going to be hefker. Still, you have an obligation to be mafresh than misura and to put up a sign that says it's Arla. Okay? But what comes out of a side discussion about your obligation to stop people from eating your Arla trees, only if they're not also being over on Gezel, because otherwise, Halitera l'Rasha diamos, is that what? That both hefker works automatically on Shemitah. God was mafkir the peros, and you know, it doesn't really matter whether or not you do it, they're still hefker. But number two, that you have a chiyuv to be mafkir as well. Okay? So according to the Moshe Feinstein, they're really tzvei dinim. Right? There's a din of hefker memela that God was mafkir, and there's another din that you're chayiv to be mafkir as well. Now, what's geshmak about that is, that's kind of something we've been seeing a lot, which is, we can discuss which is key, right? Which is primary, right? We see very clearly that Mabit really thinks it's a chova on the Shabbat Haaretz, right? As opposed to, let's say, the Beis Yosef who's going more in the, right? You have to, right? Tishmatena mi yitziras peros, let's say, but where it's on the farmer, not on the ground. But we've also seen evidence, right? Or definitely shitos, that let's say that both, right? Now, sometimes they split it between like the Asay and the Lav. We saw earlier in the Malachos time, right? And sometimes say no, right? Even internal to the Hefker, right? There are really two Chiyuvim, right? Shemitah is aimed simultaneously both on the, you know, there's this objective reality of Shemitah and, let's say, Shemitat Haaretz. But separately, right, there's also the obligations on the farmer. And those two exist in parallel, right? They're really two separate subject of Shemitah. Yeah, Tehila, you had a question?
All right, two questions. First one, going back to the Shita of the Afar Ochel. When does he read Afkana Rahmana Afkare as in you have a chiyuv to, like there's no like matter of factual hefker if you don't say anything. Is that how you're reading that?
Yeah, right. Where's my laugh? Because Rachel, right, he says, wait, all right, the Mabit said, Kilo niftiru perot shvit mimasorot alim tam hefker. The koshe inu mufkar lo niftar mimasorot. Umasha tan atu yisrael shagadar karmo velo hefkir. That it's not going to be hefker. Hayitachin. My answer is, yeah, yesh lamar. Zeu kumodia hadavar besatum imen, right? It's like, I'm proving something by asserting it. How do I know that it's hefker, even if he's not mafker? Because of course it's hefker, right? I proved that it's hefker even if I'm not mafker, because of course it is.
Right. That's, I mean, the farmer's clearly treating it as not hefker, but does that make it not hefker?
So he says, even right, the shehi chayevet, right? Afogavd rachman afkere, kivan de'ihu lo afkere. It's chayevin shumos u'maestros, because even though rachman afkere, and it was mitzavehim to be mafkir, at the end of the day, he was a mafkir. So yeah, it's not hefkir, right? Now, if you go back to the pasa, or the drasha, right, or the diyun in the Gemara, it says, it's contrasting nitushim and retushim. Retushim are where you do something on purpose, and nitushim is something that yitzbal korchan, right? But again, the Bal Korchan is kind of vague. What's that mean? It's Bal Korchan because it happens automatically regardless of what you're doing and what you think and what you want. Or it's Bal Korchan because you don't have a choice, as opposed to Retushin, which is Midaitan, where it's something that you chose to do. Here, it's not something you chose to do, right? It's Mitzvat HaMelech. God commanded you to do it, right? So Retushin is something you decide to do by yourself. Nitushin is something that wasn't something you decided to, it's something that you were forced to do. Now, forced to do could mean I'm telling you have to do it or else, right? Or I can say I came out of the blue and I made it, you know, facts on the ground, right? Whether you like it or not. It's different between saying like you better do this or like dragging someone by their ear and like literally making them do it or making it happen.
Okay. Got it. Can I have question number two now?
What?
Can I ask question number two?
Yes, sure.
Okay, this one's on the Igret Moshe. We were wondering, he's talking about the, you know, whether Lishnei Iver applies in the case of a field, and he says that when you're mafkir, it's like you're telling, you know, he's like inviting everyone into his field, right? So when he's not mafkir, there's still this idea of, you know, afkir rachmana, right? So it's still hefkir, but he hasn't invited everybody. So if there's not an aspect of invitation, why does the Igret Moshe hold that it's still a Lishnei Iver issue?
Right. So he acknowledges, right, that if you didn't have to be mafkir bapeh, right, so it'd be less obvious that there's a Lishnei Iver problem. One second. But he still thinks, where was it? Afilu neimar kivan shu hefkir gam be'etzem dachman afkir inu tzarech lahafkir o afk shu mechuyiv lashmev lo hishmen. Right? Meaning you have a response, even if you're not presenting it to other people. If it's your field and right on Shemitah it's Hefker, so it's your responsibility, you're responsible for this field, essentially. And if you're responsible for this field and you don't warn people that it's Arla, so you were just over on the Fnei Iver.
Right. So the understanding would have to be that even if you don't declare it as Hefker, everyone's still allowed to come in and take.
Right. Meaning his first point is, if you were Mafgir Bapeh, you are Lifnei Ivering by putting it in front of them, right? You're presenting it to them. His second point is that even if you're not Mafgir Bapeh, since you bear responsibility for this field, you're responsible for this field. It's your stuff, right? Or was your stuff, right? Now, you might not have been mafkir bapeh, right? It just became hefker because it's Shemitah, but it's still a field that you are responsible for. And what's cool about this, I think, is you can really, I didn't really think about this until now, but you can really use this as a paradigm for expanding, saying anything that's yours, right? You bear responsibility for, you know, even when you're not doing anything with it. And even if it's sort of like still in your domain, right? This stuff is Arla. God made it Hefker. But since it's your stuff that God made Hefker and it's your field, So you bear responsibility to make sure it doesn't harm other people. Right? And we can expand that to the ideas of, you know, of like other places in Nezikin maybe, where potentially you're not doing anything wrong, you're not causing anyone else damage, but you still might be might have responsibility just because it's your stuff, or just because it's, you know, under your purview, and you just have that responsibility, klapei chutz. You know, in general, like the idea of lifnei iver is based on the idea of arvus, right? Which is that one Jew has a responsibility for his fellow Jew. And then once that's true, so then you have responsibility towards other people. Right now, there's a limit to that at some point. But since you're responsible for other people's well-being, so what are your, everything? Right? So if it's your field, then yes, you're responsible for other people's well, other Jews' well-being as pertains to this field, which is under your purview, right? So I think we'd say like anything that's like under your like realm of influence, you have responsibility to make sure that it like doesn't cause damage or, you know, spiritual or otherwise to other Jews or other people. Or the neighbor or place to guide as well.
How does that fit with the idea that Rahmana Askare is actually on the land itself and not just on the parrot? So you think that even be like a further removal of ownership?
Yeah, in a chanam, I think the answer is that even so, even if Rahmana Afkre means that my God just like zoinked it away from you, since this field, you know, still belongs to you, right? Still your field, right? Still yours after Shemitah, still yours on Shemitah for things that you're allowed to do on Shemitah, right? The trees are still yours, even if the fruit isn't. So then, and right, Kivan Shachirim in Yodim Shu Isser, Raku, the Inu Mitzayin, right? Since because this is field, they have to be dependent on him, right? Like it's hefker, but since the only person who could and should have responsibility over it is him, he's the only person who knows. I guess it's like this. If you see that there is something dangerous, right, and you don't tell anyone about it. Since you're the only one who knows, then, right? Alav hint strichin lismoch, so you're like over on the lifnei iver. Right? If you see something dangerous and you can't be bothered to like report it to the authorities because like, then you have to file a report, zen, just gonna be annoying, right? So you just like walk away and then someone gets hurt by it. So it sounds like from the Igros Moshe that, yeah, that's something that you're really obligated to do something about it. Now, that's even a step further than what I was arguing. I was arguing that you have to have some sort of tziruf to it, right? It has to be somehow under your purview. But you're right, if you're medayik in his lashon over here at the end, since it's, right, alav hein tzrichin lismoch, but I guess also that you can argue that that's a little bit more like, it's his field, right? It's his tree. So they have, you know, the person who's responsible has got to be him. But it could be even more than that. It could be that since he's the only person who can take responsibility, so he's got to take responsibility for it. Because this is a clear danger to the public. So he's obligated to warn them. Yeah.
Sorry, I know I have a lot of questions in a row. But something that strikes me as interesting. I don't have some experience with like halachot hefker otherwise, but do we have this idea of having responsibility over something you declare as hefker in general?
Yes. Well, a great example for that is Bor B'Shus HaRabim. Right? Bor B'Shus HaRabim is not yours, right? It's a hole in the middle of B'Shus HaRabim. You have no ownership over it actually, because you can't, right? It's the public road, but because you dug it, you know, you're responsible for it, and you're chayv nezikin. There's actually this whole discussion of, right, there are like a few things that are in or shalom, v'asal akasav ki'iluhim shalom. One is which is like chametz on, you know, on Pesach, because it's aser b'hana, so it doesn't have any monetary worth, so you don't really own it, but you're still chayv for possessing it. And Bor B'Shus HaRabim is not yours, but you're, you know, you're chayv nezikin as if it was yours, because you created it, so you're responsible for it. So you can't have things that even though you don't actually own, because you're responsible for them, you know, being in existence or stuff like that. So you bear the responsibility even without ownership. And so we actually do have that idea of dafka in the, you know, the idea of being either hefker or something like that. Another example, let's say you were mafkir something that's like a mazik. I don't know. Let's say you had like a cow that's like a shor nogeach, or you had a pet lion, you know, and then you're like, you know what? This lion is too much work, eats too much food. That's it. I'm sick of him. You know, Leo's got to go. So you take Leo's pen, and you say, you take three friends, and you say, Hinani Moidia Lifnechem Rabbi Shani Mafgir Leo the Lion, Vichule Vichule, right? And then you open the cage door, and Leo, and you let Leo Lion go loose, right? So I would presume, although I have to look up this up in, you know, in Baba Kama, but presumably I think it's obvious that you would still be chayiv, right? You can't just be mafkir your pet lion. So if you can't just be mafkir your pet lion, even though he's monetarily hefker, I have the same idea, like you still bear responsibility for this mazik that you set loose. Now I think we could also argue that, like, if you returned it to its natural habitat, right, then you would no longer bear obligation to take care of its nezikin, right? But if you let it loose in your, you know, in your nice suburb of New York, then you'd probably be chayiv still for any nezek that your lion does. Okay. Yeah, it's very cool. Bit of a diversion, but it's very interesting. Guess it's Baba Kama, not Baba Mitzia, but it's a good transition along the way towards moving towards Baba Mitzia. Okay. Right? Okay, so this we already said, but in chart form, right? If it's about Shabbat Ha'aretz, so then Hashem says there's Shemitah. Shemitah's chal on the Aretz, and now the Aretz, right, or the Gidul of the Aretz is Hefker. If it's about you not creating Yivul, you not creating fruit, so then the Ikar of Shemitah is on the Adam, on the farmer, and therefore there's an obligation on the farmer to be mafkir, right? But that's on the farmer, okay? Number two is the question of, like, the hefker, right? What's hefker, right? How far do we pull this? So the Mishnah says, Hamoder haname chaber lefnei shivus. Let's say before Shavuos, you come and you say, I hate Bob so much. I don't want to get any hana from Bob. I'm not going to get any hana from Bob. Hey, you can't go into his field because that's his field. So you're getting hana by going into his field, right? You can't eat from his fruit. You can't go into his field. Hey, but you can eat from the trees that, like, lean over to the Rosh Hasharab. Okay, so you're on the street. You can, like, pick out fruit. You can't go into his sadeh to eat the fruit. Okay, nader hemenu ma'achal lefnei shvit, yored v'toch sadeh v'ino ochel min ha'peiruv, v'shvit yored v'ochel. Let's say you only said, I don't like Bob, and I'm not going to get any food from him, I'm not going to eat anything from him, right? So you're allowed to walk in the sadeh, because you never made a neder against getting that type of hana. And then on shmita, you could go into his sadeh, and you can eat. So pashas, what does it sound like in the Mishnah? Right? You can eat the fruit because the fruit of hefker, but you can't go into his sadeh because that's still his. Says the Gemara, b'shvit in yore letoch sadehu, maishna de'ocha min hanot. Right? De'peiri de'hef, all right, de'hefkeira imun. Why is he allowed to eat from the fruit that's leaning over the Rosh Hasharabim? Because the pears are hefker. Aga nami afkera. Right? The land is also hefker. So why can't he walk through the sadeh? So Amar Ula be'omdin ilanot ala gvulin. Says no. It's a case where the trees are leaning over, you know, are on the edge, right? And you don't need to go into the sadeh in order to get the fruit. Okay? And since you don't need to go into the sadeh to get the fruit, so there's no allowance for you to go into the sadeh for no reason, right? You're allowed to go into the sadeh in order to get the fruit if you need to, but you don't need to here, so it's awesome. Rav Shimon ben Lak ben Eliyakim Omer, Gzera Shema Yishev Amida. Maybe you won't just zip in, grab the fruit, and zip back out. Right? You'll walk in, you'll saunter in, you look, you pull down an apple, you look at the apple, you clean the apple, you bite the apple. You know, you're like, this is a nice apple. This is such a nice orchard. right? And then you're being nehne from the orchard, right? Bili kesher to going in and getting fruit. Okay. Now, first of all, I think there's a difference between that, right? Between Ula and Rav Shimon ben Yakim. According to Ula, you cannot go into the Sadeh to get fruit if you could possibly not go into the Sadeh, right? According to Rav Shimon ben Yakim, that's not the problem, so much that we're saying that you worry that you'll use his Sadeh for other things other than getting the fruit. Right? Potentially, according to Rav Shimon ben Yakim, even if you could get the fruit by not going into the Sadeh, there's no reason why you can't go into the Sadeh to get the fruit. It's just that you have to make sure not to dawdle. Okay? Now, there is an interesting difference between those because, right? What is Rashi? Let's see Rashi. Omdin ilan al gvulin, lechutz, sheyacholet losh min haperot mibachutz, mishum hachi ino yored, deharachmana afgerei la'ara, gabe shvi'it litzorech achila, ve'achshav lo haya nechnas litzorech achila. Okay, so it's only hefker, you're only allowed to use the guy's sadeh, litzorech achila. And here, since you don't need to go in litzorech achila, right, because you could eat it without going in, so you can't go in. Rav Shimon ben Yakim omer hadiktani ochel min anotot vada kidakam, right? Kigon don al gvulin, mishum sheyachol lehoshit yado v'dikach mibachutz. Aval eino omdin al gvulin, eino yored letoch sadeh, da'asur lered, because gzera d'lachach she'achal omed lo l'sham, ukenimai mehani minachasim d'madir v'asur. Okay? V'hai da'af kirei rachmana kol zman shu ochel. Az yachol lamod shem, behefker hu. So Rashi's gisha is that the Torah was mafkir the land or gave you rights to use the land letzorech achila, right? But it's only for the purpose of eating. So if you didn't need it, right, then you can't use it at all, right, across the board. The Rashba says digabev. It's not just that the peros are hefker. The land is also hefker that anyone can come in. Right? Now, for the Rajba, this is the formulation of the Rajba, is that the land is hefker, right? That anyone can come in and eat. For Rashi, it's you have the Torah, right, was mafkir the right of going in letzorach achila from the ownership of the land. Right, Rashi's kind of like going around like that because Rashi's saying that rachmana afkrei la'ara gabe shvi'it letzorach achila. Okay, if you need to eat, so the Torah was mafkir the land letzorach achila for you to eat. Okay, it's not like the land is hefker, right? It's like the eatability of the land is hefker. What does that mean? So there are two things which go right, or there are two nodes that we can talk about when it comes to terrestrial eatability. Okay, one is the actual fruit of the land, and number two is the accessibility of the fruit of the land. Right. Meaning, right, you need the fruit and the supply chain. So eatability, food, right, is not really consumable or view, right? What's the lashon of the pasuk? Shabbat ha'aretz lachem lo'achla, right? If the Shabbat ha'aretz is lachem lo'achla, so what does that mean, right? So let's say the aretz is lachem lachla and shmita. You're allowed to eat it. You don't eat the ground, right? You eat the fruit and whatever is part of that that comes along with eating. So being able to get the fruit is part of the land's eatability, right? So the land is afkar la'ara legabe shvid letzorach achila. Included in that is going into the land and also eating, right? On the other hand, the Rashba is saying something much broader. hasade mufkar lakol likanes, right? And not just the peiros, right? Rashi saying the land is hefker for people to come in and access, right? Not just the fruit. So the Rashi was expanding hefker to include the land. Rashi's kind of trying to give you this like very, very nuanced in between point where he's saying it's not just like, oh, only the fruit is hefker, but it's not that the land is hefker, but it's like the eatability of the land is hefker. And we all know that like food isn't eatable if you can't get to it, right? So therefore, like the access ability is also part of the hefker. Got that? We'll see it in a second. So we'll go ahead and see the Mechilta and the Rambam, and then we'll get back to like that idea, I think. The Mechilta has like, an interesting formulation. Davar acher, hashvit yesh metena v'natashta, mipnei ma amra Torah, why did the Torah give a Shemitah? Lo sheyochlu al ta'aniyim, right? So that ta'aniyim can eat it. Harei ani machnisa mechalka la'aniyim. Okay, so I should go collect all the fruit, put it in a warehouse, and then divvy it up amongst poor people, right? Sounds like the right thing to do. Talmud lomar v'hashvi'it yishmetena v'natashta. Right? The Torah therefore says that the shvi'it you should abandon, right? And leave it alone. Magid sheporetz ba'pratzot. You should knock holes in the walls of your garden or your field to let people in. Right? You should really like rip off the gates from your gardens. Ela gadol chachamim ibnei tikkun olam, right? But the chachamim, you know, said you don't have to do that because that would just be really very destructive if you have to do that, right? But theoretically, right, our havamin is you should collect everything and divvy it out to the aniyim. Kamash malan, you should really just actually make holes in the walls of your sadeh and let everybody in. Now, the question is, which one is key? We have a havamina that it's about getting the food to the aniyim. In which case, you can say, okay, the whole point of Shemitah is giving the food to the aniyim, and you just have to make sure that there's nothing in their way. Right? You would have thought you could just give it out, kamash malan, but no. You have to actually like give them free access. You can't be in charge of it, so you can't block them. But fundamentally, the point is to get the food to the aniyim. The other way to look at it is, our havamina is that it's about giving the food to aniyim. The maskana is that poreis bapirtzos, and your land doesn't belong to you anymore, and it's like, you know, it's like totally, you know, open season on the land of Israel, and like everyone has equal ownership and access to the land, not just to the fruit. Okay, I'm not totally sure what to emphasize in the mechilta, which way the mechilta is really going. Right, definitely the havamina is like it's all about the fruit. Question is the maskana saying, well, you can't be in control of the fruit even to give out to the aniyim, or is it saying that no, it's not really about fruit, it's about the land and everything? So that's an open question. The Rambam says, mitzvah saseh lehashmit komash atotzi aretz b'shvit. You have to be mafkir the peiros. Shenemar hashvit yishbitena benatashta. V'kol hanoel karmo osag sadeh b'shvit b'teo mitzvah taseh. If you lock up your fruit and your sadeh, then you're mevatel mitzvah saseh. You have a mitzvah to be mafkir. If you lock it all up, then you're mevatel that mitzvah saseh. For the Rambam, there's no separate din of hefker. Of Knisa Le Karmo, right? It's not like, oh, the land is hefker on some level. But the Rambam is clear that the land is not hefker, but you, as the owner of the peiros, need to be mafkir. And if you lock up your sadeh, you're mevato the mitzvah of being mafkir the peiros, right? So according to the Rashba and the Mabit, right? The karka is also hefker, right? Not totally, right? But to a large extent, we're saying hashvi'it shabbat aretz lachem lochla. Sorry, you know, vayta shabbat aretz, and the karka is hefker, and the karka is also, you know, hefker memela, says the Mabit, and therefore, yeah, it's not only going to be the peiros; it's also going to be kinesa, the access to the karka. Right? According to the Rambam, it's only about the fruit. It's not about the karka. The karka is not hefker at all. if you don't let people get to the fruit, then you're being mavato the mitzvah, being mafkir the fruit, right? But there's no hefker of the karka. I think it's a little bit of a kasha on the Rambam, though, because the Gemara says that, oh, the guy who's no derhana is going to be fine in terms of Shemitah. Sorry, is going to be fine on Shemitah to be machnes l'toch karka because right, the Torah is also mafgir the Knesa. It could be that the answer is that, oh, if the guy has to be mafgir, not only the peros, but he also has to be mafgir, right, the Knesa l'karka in order to get the peros, not because there's a chovah on the karka, but because you have to let people get the peros, and if you stop them, if you maintain your property rights, right, of no trespass, then memela your mevatel the mitzvah of hefker. In which case, right, it's still something that's totally coming mitzad the bailim being mafkir, and not mitzad the actual karka being hefker automatically, right, or that the hefker of the karka is part of the din hefker. So according to the Rashba and the Mabe, the karka is hefker, right, to some extent. According to the Rambam, it's only the peros are hefker. You just have to give access to them, otherwise you're mevatel the mitzvah to say of hefker, of the peros. In the middle, Rashi, right, is saying like, oh, the achila is hefker on Shemitah, and achila includes in it the use access of the karka to get food and the actual fruit that comes out of the karka. But like the hefker is on the achilaness, right? On the eatability. Okay. Right, so we have two gishah. We have, right, Shabbat Ha'aretz Migidu Perot, that we are being shoves from making fruit, and the Chovas Hefker is, there's a direct relationship between, right, Tzivu Hashem, Tish Matena, and that the actual stuff is all Hefker, right? Automatically, by divine decree, the Bailim don't come into it, because God basically said, okay, Eretz Yisrael, you're Hefker now. And not only is the payroll going to be Hefker, but the actual Karka itself is Hefker to some extent. On the other hand, it's Tishmatena Mitziras Yavul, it's about not creating payrolls. So the payrolls, right, are your Chayiv to be Mafkir. So that's something on the farmer. And it's also what's going to be Hefker is not going to be the Karka, it's only going to be the payrolls, right? Because Shemitah is all about the payrolls, not about the Karka. Okay. Interesting sort of like quasi nafkamina. The Mishnah in Maseches Edios says, you know, there are six things which are Mikule Beishama and Chumra Beis Hillel. Ochlin Peros Shvius Betova, Velo Betova, Kideri Beishamai. Beishamai say you can eat Peros Shvius either like you could be Machzik Tova and you could show appreciation that the guy gave you, lets you have the Peros, or not, up to you. Ubeis Hillel Omrim, our girsa is in Ochlin El Betova. You have to show appreciation for the fact that the guy is letting you eat the peros. Okay? You have to like say thank you, essentially. Says the Rambam, right? Betova, derech gemilas tov, kimisha osa lo tzracha, v'ose imo chesed, v'ma she'nicho lecho mi peros arta. Okay? You have to show appreciation that the guy's letting you in to use his sadeh and eat the peros. Okay? Bartanura has a different girsa in Beis Hillel, and he says, the Beis Hillel say, "Ein ochlin betova." You're not allowed to say thank you, right? Why? Asur lahachzik tova lebailim derachmana afgarinu. Right? God made it hefker. If you say, "Oh, thank you so much for your payros," what are you doing? You're undermining the whole concept of Shemitah, which is the payros belong to God, right? Or that, right? Hayda Shabbat Haaretz Lechem Lachla is, there is Shabbat Haaretz, it is Shemitah, the peros are Hefker automatically, right? And God is letting you eat it. If you say thank you to this guy for his peros, so then you're undermining Shemitah, right? Now, if the emphasis right, is the Ravid says, oh, you know, we're really, it's just because we're worried that if you eat, you have to be Ocha Batova, because otherwise people will just like get used to the idea that you can just barge into other people's fields and take their stuff, right? Which we don't want to happen. But fundamentally, of course, right, you could just take it below Batova, right? Sounds like from the Rambam that his girsa is that we're Ochel Dafka Batova. Now, that happens to work very nicely because the Rambam said before, what's the din of hefker? Right? It's a mitzvah, but this guy's got to go and be mafker. It's like his peiros, right? Or at least on the sadeh, right? The sadeh is my sadeh, right? You don't have the right to come in. I need to be mafker, the peiros, and in order to do that, I also need to let you get them, right? So the emphasis is again on the farmer, right, and the produce. In which case, it makes a lot of sense to say that you do have to appreciate the fact that he's going and he's being mafkir and he's giving it to you, or he's letting you take it, right? He's chayiv to, right, but he still did something. On the other hand, the Bartanura says, it's afkata demalka, it's hefker memela. This, right, like we were saying before, if the payros aren't his and the field isn't his because, right, the whole thing is now God has reasserted his ownership rights and it's hefker automatically, including the sadeh. So by showing him appreciation, right, you're denying God's ownership of the land. Right? God says, this is the metzias. I own it. It's not his. So then be mafkir tova is to deny that. If God says to him that you are now chayv to be mafkir, please be mafkir, and then he is, so then, right, okay, so you're not, he's doing a mitzvah. Mitzvah's mafkir the peros, to acknowledge that, right, the production of the peros is on Shemitah's Aser. But ultimately, right, he did something. There's no contradiction between being machzik tova to him for the peros that he was mafkir, right, as opposed to a case where by being machzik tova for something that he didn't do anything for, right, you're denying that the hefker, that the afkata demalka, that Shemitah is happening. Right, the Baruch Tanur says it's aser ein ochlim betova aser lahachzik tova lebailim. Why? Because derachmana afkirinu. Right, the whole point of Shemitah is that Hashem was mafkiret without anything to do with this bailim. Right, so if it happens automatically, right, and that's the point of Shemitah, which is that, right, it's Shabbat Haaretz and today is the day that we acknowledge that God, right, owns the world. So then, yeah. Right, that it would actually be a problem to thank the guy or be machzik tova to the guy for giving you the peros. Right now, you would still maybe need to ask permission to go into his sadeh, right? But says the Ravid, oh, you know, because we don't want you to do every year to just get used to the idea of barging into people's fields without permission, right, and taking their stuff. But fundamentally, yeah, right. You shouldn't even be asking permission because that's the whole point of Shemitah, right? Okay. One interesting, although not necessarily necessarily obvious connection is the question of Nevad. Let's say you were over and you actually worked your field on Shemitah. Is this stuff us or not? So that can go either way. But it has it does obliquely tie in. The Mishnah says, "Hanotea b'Shabbes shogeg yikayim mezid yakor b'Shvius bein shogeg b'mezid yakor." Okay, if you plant on Shabbos the shogeg, you don't have to uproot it, but b'mezid you'd have to uproot it as a knas. And on Shvius, you always have to uproot it. Okay, what says Gemara? Says why? Because on Shvius, you know, Bnei Yisrael are chashed on Shvius, but not on Shabbos. Right? Standard person is not going to accidentally plant on Shabbos, right? But people will accidentally plant on Shemitah. Right? Yish the Faish. That's important. Okay. Peros Atzman Asurin, says the Ramban. Even the peros from this tree would be Aser. The Machmat Avodat Shvi'it Bao. The Kaimalan Hanoteh B'Shvi'it Yaakor. V'sedah Shentayva Lo Tizra Al Demote Shvi'it. Okay? And if you did Malach on Shvi'it, then the peros themselves are Aser. You cannot eat them. Okay? The Rambam says, oh, dafka, if you plant a tree, right? Since if you leave it, right, Bnei Yisrael chashudin al shvius, in tamar shogeg yikayim, in mezid he'll say shogeg. See, right? Says Chazon Shlomo, that's Harambam. The as the avar v'zara peros mutarin k'mo b'nitayva. You can't pay for them, but the actual payros are mutter. Okay? Also, Shlomo Zalman Orbach says, La'alacha, we are mikil, be'eser meshomer v'ne'avad, de'b'di'eved, in a payros nesarnu mutarim b'achila l'achirim, right? Which has a huge impact on the question of heter mechira, because let's say you think heter mechira doesn't work. Okay, but if we think that ne'avad is still mutter, so the farmer, right, did whatever he did based on heter mechira. Let's say you're choshish that heter mechira doesn't work. So you think that he shouldn't have done it because he shouldn't have been somech on that kula. But the peros might still are if we think nevad and shamor is still mutter b'diavad. So okay, he did something wrong, right, b'shaygei because he was somech on heter mechira, but the peros are still mutter b'achila. Okay, side point. But what is really interesting is like this. Maybe this could be a nafkamina, again, of our chakira. But it could be in two opposite ways. On the one hand, you could say, if the whole point is that you need to be mafkir, right? Because objectively, there's this idea that the aretz is hefker and the peros are hefker because Shabbat haaretz, right? So then it could say, oh, well, objectively, the payros, atzman, are usr, right? Because they're a product of chilul shvius, right? On the other hand, I could say, adaraba, if it's hefker mimela, if it's afgata demalka, so then who cares if you're a nevad or if you're a shomer? They're hefker anyway, right? The payros are not something that's yours for you to be osir. You have no authority to be oser these payros, right? Because they're not yours. So you did a bunch of isurim, right? You're a bad dude. But if I go and I can't be oser davar she'eino shalal, right? It's a classic rule. In general, ein adam oser davar she'eino shalal. So, right? Okay. So this guy went and he worked a random field on Shemitah. Why should his sin answer it for everybody else? Right, so either you say, well, objectively, there's like this chilul, and therefore the payros should be oser. You say no, right? But he doesn't own it to be oser. He doesn't. This isn't his. It's afkata demalka. So he sinned, but God was still mafkir, and God still said, oh, all this stuff is lechem lechla. On the flip side, right? If you say it's about a chovas hagavra. So on the one hand, you say, well, the guy might have been over his chovas hagavra, but why should that affect the chefta of the pri? On the other hand, you say no. It's a knas, right? He, begaver, was chayv to do something. He's not doing it. So there's a knas on his payros, right? Which he owned because he's chayv to be mafkir them, and until he's mafkir them, they're still his. Okay? Now, the potential implication is also, what about Otzer Bezdin, right? Otzer Bezdin, on the one hand, right, we could say if we think that, you know, Bezdin is a special class, right, which is something we got to talk about again. But if Bezdin is somehow special, if we think that there's a chovas hefker on the gavra, so maybe Bezdin doesn't have that chiv hefker, right? If we think it's afkata demalka, so then how does Bezdin get around the Hefker? The Hefker happens automatically, right? In terms of the question of Bezdin being Shomer the Peros in the field, can they like put a guard up to say, this is, you know, Bezdin is taking all these Peros and we're going to put him in our Otzer Bezdin and no one else is allowed to. So if you say that Hefker happens Mimela, so then the Pashtus is like, okay, who's Bezdin to come and say that the Hefker didn't happen, right? Bezdin says, we're putting this in our Otzer and, you know, and we're storing it for everybody on behalf of the whole public, right? So if you thought like the Mechilta, right, Mipnei ma amra Torah lo sheyochlu asaniim. Right, so you can say ani machnisa mechalka, but maybe Bezdin can say anachnu, right, machnisenu mechalkim b'shava. Right, you can't assert ownership and say, oh, this is mine and I'm going to divvy it out, but Bezdin can say we're going to divvy it out for everybody. Right. On the other hand, right, maybe no. Right, say okay. Right, hashviyus tishmatena v'natashta. Right, poritz bapirtzos, and everything's hefker memila because of afkata demalka. So Bezdin's no better off than anyone else. It's totally hefker, and Bezdin has no power to stop that. Right, it's Bezdin versus God. Now, on the flip side, right, if there's a chovas hefker, you could say, well, maybe Bezdin is pater from that chovas hefker, right? So maybe they can sort of assert ownership. But what's the problem? Bezdin might not need to do hefker, and there's no afkata demalka maybe, but maybe the bailin still have a chova of hefker. Okay, so we're going to see on Wednesday, the Or Letzia and Rav Abishol says, Bezdin is allowed to be Mishamer the Peros and the Fsadeh, right? Because Bezdin, right, is allowed to do that, okay? Because, right, the whole point is so Yochlu Osaniyim, and the Peros should belong to everybody, to go to everyone. But the owner of the Sadeh still has a Chiv to be Mafkir, which he's not doing if he lets Bezdin come in and, right, be Shomer all the Peros and take all the Peros to the Otzer Bezdin. Right? So on the one hand, Bezdin's allowed to take all the payrolls and guard it and ignore Hefker, but the owner still needs to be Mafkir. Now that assumes, kind of like Rav Moshe Feinstein, maybe, right, they're really Tzveidinim in the Hefker. There's a Chova of the Bailam to be Mafkir, and the Metzias that the payrolls have to be Hefker. Right? So like, oh, Bezdin is allowed to say, well, really, the whole point of the Hefker Klali, that's automatic, is Shayochlu Aniyim, according to Rav Abishol, I guess. And therefore, Bezdin is able to ignore that. But, because they're actually a kiyum of that, right? They're really giving it to everybody by taking it. On the other hand, right, the Bailim still have a chova being mafkir bepeh. So he leaves it as like, oh, you're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. Right? So anyway, if you think that there's a chova, if you think it's afkata to the Malka, so you're kind of stuck with Otzer Bezdin because, well, even if Bezdin can collect it, right, they can't guard it in the fields because it's already hefker. If you think it's a chova on the bailim to be mafkir, so then maybe they can give it to Bezdin, and that's a kiyum in the giving it over to everyone in Klal Yisrael, and maybe that can get around some of the limitations of Shemitah. To be continued.